You are listening to The Property Show. Ludmilla Yamalova and Mike Small are my co-hosts sitting in today. Now, Mike, we were going to, we've just been talking about some of the big issues locally and internationally. Why don't there was one topic that you wanted to kind of chat about, just considering you've just come back from the UK, the buy-to-let schemes that are going on there.
Yeah, no, buy-to-let's been going on for many years
Firstly, let's just explain, what is a buy-to-let situation?
Buy-to-let is where someone actually invests in a property, not with the idea of living in it, but the idea of letting it to someone else, and obviously living off for rent to a certain degree. And you know, people have built up portfolios over the last 20 years. It's one of the reasons we've got a housing crisis, because obviously with a lot of people, or enough people, buying up portfolios, it leaves a shortage of property for those people who actually want to buy their own property. It bids prices up, banks making money easy allow people to bid prices up, and you've got some people owning 400, 500 properties. It's a free world, and you know, if the government allows it, the government allows it, but it's not socially very equitable, because what it does do is it just bids the price of property up, and eventually it causes the inequalities that are now causing friction across the world in many countries, Hong Kong this week typically, and also the UK. There's a lot of resentment from people who, if you like, can sort themselves out, go and get funding, buy 20 properties, say, and then let them out. And it's, you know, the UK system is your home is your castle and everyone's entitled to buy a home. Well, you know, you can't do that if there are people out there getting very cheap funding and buying up rows of houses. You can't do it because there's only so many houses. And the buy-to-let landlords, it's become quite an industry. It's been, you know, a lot of people have given up work and they just sit on, say, 10 properties, and that's where their income is. And as I say, there's nothing wrong with it, but it has a social effect. But one of the things that's coming up this now is that the tax authorities have actually not been collecting all the taxes on buy-to-let landlords over the last 2 years. And this is an article I haven't really taken in fully yet. It only came out this morning, I think. And it's talking about there's a lot of tax due for 2010 and 2011. And it's due 31st of January 2012, along with half of the tax for the current year, while the remaining half of the tax for the 2011-12 year will be full due on July 31, 2012. So there's a lot of pent-up tax that hasn't been paid. And a lot of landlords don't understand, especially if they're first-time landlords or they've just started this idea, they don't understand that they actually paid, if they've got an interest only, or if they've got a large, rather principal payment part of their mortgage, they don't understand that it's only a small part of the repayment that they can actually claim tax relief on. And there's quite a large part of tax due. And they're also very vulnerable to interest rate rises, of course, and we're beginning to see those rises through the system. Now, a lot of my wife included, a lot of people say to me, all I want to do is own 5 or 6 properties and then I can retire. Mm. And yeah, fine. And I'm not going to say that's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea, but I think it can wait until what I foresee as an expected property crash as a result of all the macro items that are going through, Spain, etc. The euro crisis will come back. Britain will have its own crisis, if I'm right, and a massive crisis at that, where it can only go to the IMF. It can't go to the EU because it hasn't got an EU, it hasn't got an ECB membership. It'll go straight to the IMF, and then you know where you are. You're at the bottom. At that point, yeah, I'd quite happily buy some UK properties and tuck them away. But again, I don't know. Call it a conscience or not, I'm still worried about the fact that if people buy properties to make money, they deny other people the right to buy the property to live in. And I find that quite disturbing. I think it's been taken to a level that is causing social stress. And I really do think, I find that quite uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. But the buy properties to earn money to live off, so yep, they're not a burden on society, though. Is there, you know...
You will be able to argue against me all day on this.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
I just look at it from a very high level and say the more people who come in and buy loads of properties, the less chance there is of someone buying their own property. Yep. It's just a fact. Uh-huh. You can't argue with that.
But there should be, I mean, within certain governments, taxing structures that
moment, it's the wrong way round, because people get relief on the interest on loans to buy properties, which means they're incentivized to buy properties, which stops other people buying them. The actual interest relief on mortgages that you used to get as a homeowner was taken off in the Maggie Thatcher era, because she recognized the disturbance that was causing in people investing too much money in property because they got a tax incentive rather than investing it in the general economy. And that's what's happened now. We've got everyone investing in property and no one investing in real businesses.
Yeah.
So real businesses create jobs, property just creates property inflation. It does not create a job. And so we've got disturbed economies all over the Western world that have been biased towards property development and ownership and away from industrial development, which actually creates jobs, tax, growth. Growth, the thing that everyone, every politician I've watched over the last 6 months, 9 months has said, oh, we just need growth to solve this crisis. Tell me where the growth is coming from. For goodness sake, stop spouting this rubbish about growth. People have got too much debt, so they're not going to buy as much. It's as simple as that. Every day the oil price goes up, the Western people have less money to spend on real things because they have to spend more on their petrol. It's just a fact.
Did you get a sense at all when you were back in the UK how everyone's feeling about the announcement of more tax cuts for the rich?
No, I came back before the budget.
Okay.
Because I came back on the Saturday night and the budget was on whenever. It was last week, wasn't it?
Okay,
so
what's your
I
take,
missed
though?
It. But the actual, I mean, you can see from the news reports on the actual... the unfairness, the actual superficial unfairness of people who already earn an enormous amount of money getting a tax cut and companies who are already absolutely loaded with cash and not investing in the Western economies but investing in China and Indonesia and Philippines and not investing back in their home economies, no social responsibility whatsoever, they are getting tax cuts and the people are paying more tax on cigarettes and drink and this, and yes, you can argue the National Health Service, you can argue all those costs, I understand them, but at the end of the day, your perception is the poor are getting taxed more, the rich are getting taxed less, and when you keep doing that, there comes a point, and there was a massively interesting article written by Gillian Tett of the FT this week that talked about this issue specifically. It talked about the inequality of what she called the granny tax, which was the thing that they all nominated this budget as, because you reduce the tax for high earners, but you actually reduce the pension allowance for grannies. So there's an easy complaint in the UK at the moment, but to me it's superficial, but it reflects this massive inequality that the Western governments do not understand they're creating day after day after day. And at some point, as Tett's article says, that social system, it snaps. It has to, because people just give up. But if they're not going to be treated fairly in their eyes, whether it's true or not, and you can argue it all day, and economists will all have different opinions, and so will everyone, you can argue all you want, but at the end of the day, if it's perceived to be unfair to the general public, rather like council tax was when that came out in the UK, it will get attacked, and that attack can be quite serious.
Okay, well, we have come to the end of our show there, Mike. No, I mean, it's one of those things. Perception is reality.
It is reality in economics, because that most people can't understand it, and even I struggle to understand it, because it is an art form, not a science. There's no exact economics. But what you're seeing now, and you saw it, well, you saw it to a certain extent across North Africa earlier, last year and this year, inequality breeds discontent. And when you get discontent and it starts to move and gain momentum, like Occupy, which we talked about, and we talked to that chap, didn't we, Richard? When you get that and it starts to grow, you can't stop it. And so you don't want to make it grow. So to incite the public with these sort of moves, to me, was a ridiculous move.
Okay, we have come to the end of The Property Show. What a great show, guys. Ludmilla, where can people get in touch if they would like some legal advice from you?
Best way to reach us would be to look us up on our website. It's www.lyhplaw.com.
Okay, and Mike, where can people get in touch with you?
It's mikesmall.vsm@gmail.com.
Well, thank you to my two co-hosts, Mike and Ludmilla. And
always
also
a pleasure.
Thank you to our listeners, you, for joining us and sharing part of your day with us. It has been great to have your company.